The text that calls for our attention this day comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter, and particularly this 8th verse. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the midst of all of the beautiful images that bloom in the garden of the Scriptures to describe God and His splendor, there appears from time to time a plant that looks much more like a weed than a flower. And when these things pop up in the Scriptures, their appearance can be as disturbing as a weed is in a perfectly tidy garden. Today we encounter one such weed in our gospel lesson for the day. The story that Jesus brings to life in our text is this. Late at night, a man is surprised by a friend who stops by to visit at just the wrong time. It is late, and the cupboards are bare. And while you and I in this circumstance might just welcome the people in quickly and show them to their bed for the night, a Middle Eastern man would certainly not do this. You see, hospitality was as important as anything else in their entire culture. And so this man welcomes his guest into his home and then runs next door to the neighbor. He knocks on the door. And he yells through the door and explains to the man who is sleeping snugly in bed of his dire situation. But that man there in bed refused to move. He yells back out through the door, "I'm very sorry, but I'm already in bed. In fact, everybody's in bed. If I move now, I wouldn't only disturb my sleep, but I'd likely wake up the whole family." And then just as he slipped back under his covers to get comfortable, that voice began to boom through his door again. "Maybe you didn't hear me. I need something to set before my guest." Oh, I'm sure the man in his bed, I'm sure that his blood pressure began to rise. But as it did, so did he. He got up, went to the kitchen, and gave the man everything that he needed. So what exactly is the point of this story that Jesus tells? And why do I refer to it as a weed in the scriptural garden? Well, surely the point of the story is this. That man who had a surprise guest indeed received everything he needed, because he was so insistent. Yes, even though that man, his friend, lying in bed, didn't want to help initially, he eventually did, because that man outside his house would not give up. And that, to me, is a weed. You see, in most of the cases, when we look at a story or a parable in the Bible, the main character of that story ends up being God or Jesus. But if we follow that general rule with this story, we end up with a disinterested God who answers prayers simply so we will stop pestering him and so we can get back to sleep. And that is a weed. Is that the God that you know? It certainly doesn't measure up to the other flowers that are blooming there in the garden of scriptural illustration that give us such a wonderful picture of God. It's certainly no good shepherd carrying that lost lamb back to safety. It's no gracious father running towards the prodigal son, just waiting to embrace him. It's no good Samaritan binding up the wounds of that broken man and promising to care for all his needs. Yes, this story in our gospel lesson today seems like a weed in the midst of all of those other gorgeous blooms. But if we are honest, it is a weed that at times in our life seems about right. Have you ever felt like you were praying to a God who is snug in bed? Have you ever pleaded with Him and thought maybe He was answering, please, don't bother me right now? Have you ever thought that He was quite unresponsive to your most urgent need? Those kind of thoughts are not ones we readily admit to others, or at least not without some level of embarrassment. But yet I would bet most of us have been there at one time or another in our lives. We have felt like we were screaming through the door to a God who, quite frankly, didn't care enough to get up. So the question is this: does that weed accurately describe our God? Are those times in our lives when we feel like God is not listening and answering our prayers more than just a feeling? Is it reality? The reality of how God deals with us? Well, I'm happy to say today that the answer is no. This picture is indeed a weed, but it is not a picture of our God. This picture is of exactly who it says it is. It is of a neighbor who is tucked snugly in his bed with his children, who does not want to be bothered. It could be your neighbor. It could be mine. But the truth is this. Regardless of who your neighbor is, if you bug that neighbor long enough about a real need you have, they will eventually get up and help you out. And humans, on the whole, unfortunately, often look a lot more like weeds than flowers. They often are much more concerned with their own comfort and their own needs rather than helping someone out. And certainly that is true when they are tired. Yes, indeed, humans don't always respond initially as we hope they would. Yes, sometimes their help has to be coaxed out through persistence. But our scripture lesson then teaches us this about God. It teaches us that if our neighbor, the weed, will eventually get up and help us in our time of need, then surely God, the gorgeous flower, will meet our needs even better. For unlike our neighbor, indeed God is looking out for our needs all the time. No, God, you don't have to bug and bug in order to get Him to come to your aid. No, His first concern is your needs and not His own. Remember the cross? Remember how God there sacrificed His only Son for you? Yes, God throughout the Scriptures, time and time again, places humanity's needs before His own. And so you need not worry about having to convince God to help you by being overly persistent. In fact, our text says simply this: everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, the door is open. Yes, God is not pressured into answering our prayers, but He does so quite gladly. But then what about those times? What about those times when it seems like that is not true? What about those times when we feel like we have asked and have not received? Like we have sought and have not found. Like those times when we have knocked till our hands hurt. and yet have not seen a door open in front of us. What about those times? Well, later in our text, we get an important insight. It says there, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Did you catch that? What is it that you and I as God's children are to be praying for? The Holy Spirit. When was the last time you stopped to pray for the Holy Spirit? How many times are our prayers simply filled with our wants and our needs for physical blessing and earthly health, and are simply wanting of any prayers for spiritual health? Indeed, that is not how our prayers as God's children should be. Our prayers indeed should be centered on spiritual matters, first and foremost. After all, just listen to the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. We pray for God's kingdom, for His name, for His will. We pray for our forgiveness. We pray for our freedom from temptation and evil. We recognize His power, His glory, and the eternalness of His kingdom. Yes, with the possible exception of the prayer for daily bread, the entirety of the Lord's Prayer is focused on spiritual concern. And to be honest, many think that even daily bread is simply a euphemism for daily spiritual health. After all, it was Jesus, right, who called Himself the bread of life and told those who would listen that man did not live on bread alone, but on every word that flowed out of His mouth. So in those times in our life where it seems like God is not listening and answering, perhaps the problem is not with God's answer, but with our request. James rebuked his readers, saying, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your enjoyment." You see, God is much more concerned with your salvation than He is your enjoyment of this life. That is not to say that God doesn't care about your earthly hunger or your sickness or the trouble in your family life. But it is to say that He is much more concerned about your spiritual life than any of those things. And so today, as Jesus teaches us again how to pray, may we recognize in His example of the Lord's Prayer how woefully inadequate many of our prayers have been, especially in terms of their spiritual content. And as we recognize this, may we then pray as He has taught us, "Forgive us, Lord, our trespasses." And when we pray that, Jesus will indeed again answer that prayer. And we won't have to pray it louder and longer to get His attention. No, He is there, waiting for us to ask, in order that He might give it to us with great haste. He is waiting in order that He might give to those who have asked the Holy Spirit, in order that we might have faith and receive the forgiveness that Jesus earned on the cross. And then when that happens, when we have received the forgiveness of Christ, we will learn again to pray as Jesus taught. We will pray first and foremost for His kingdom and for our spiritual good. For that is how He taught us to pray. Yes, that image in our text of a sleeping neighbor not anxious to help is indeed a weed. But it is not a picture of our God. No, God is that beautiful flower there next to that weed. He is the one whose help and mercy is so beautiful that everyone who stops to look at it is amazed. He is the one who answers our prayer not after much prodding, but rather answers our prayers for spiritual help quickly. He is the one who gives to us the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, that is what we need. Amen. You're invited to run. Then may God indeed give to us His Holy Spirit, that we might be taught again how we ought to pray. In the name of Jesus, Amen.